have dialed has not been recognized. Please check and try again.
This is Ponyboy, and you are listening to the real episode 24 of Belcore Radio. Last week I thought it was episode 24. I was wrong. Sorry. So if I messed with anyone's head, that was 23. This is episode 24. Got a little bit of housekeeping. Some exciting news. I know that me and Mesa have attempted to get a stream set up so you could hear the show, you know, if you don't feel like downloading it and all that good stuff, and always fell through. Either the server we were going to put it on didn't work out or whatever. But we are now officially every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time are going to be streamed on DDP Hack Radio. If you guys want to check it out, it's ddphackradio.org. That's DDP as in, as in digital dog pound, so you don't get the letters wrong. Hackradio.org. And there's a little stream button on the side there that you click to and listen to it. So, if, you know, to any new listeners who are just, you know, checking out the stream and are hearing the show for the first time, welcome to Belcore Radio. We're going to jump right into it here. I guess this isn't really news for freaks. This is just a cool website that I came across recently that, not exactly new, but I know that not a lot of people have heard about it. So, I thought I'd talk about it. It's called Phone Swarm, and it's phoneswarm.com. Basically, the point of the site is they give you, or people send in payphone numbers. generally a payphone that's in a somewhat, I guess, scenic location, you could say. Someplace that's kind of just a nice place to be at, that gets a lot of, you know, people walking past it, and that accepts incoming calls. And they post the number up, and the point of it is that people who come to the site are just supposed to call that number, like, as much as they can, and try to get people to pick up. And the newest number that they have is a really awesome, awesome number. It is a payphone at the Santa Monica Pier in California. And what makes it a really cool number is that across the street from the payphone, which is, like, right at the entrance to the pier, is a plastic surgeon, I think, who has a webcam set up in his office window that's showing, basically, the payphone is dead center at this, on this webcam. And so you can, you know, spend hours upon hours watching people walk past a ringing payphone, as you call it, and get really frustrated like I did. But, sometimes you get picked, somebody, you know, sometimes people actually stop and pick up. Just last night, I was calling the number, over and over again for about 2 hours, and, nobody picked up. They walked right past it. But finally, I got a call, or an answer, I should say. And, it was some people geocaching. Apparently, on geocaching.com, one of the caches was that they had to get their picture taken in front of that payphone, with the webcam. And so I called, and these people picked up, and, I took a screenshot for them and sent it in. So, I'm gonna go ahead and, give shouts right now to if you guys are listening, I told these guys to check out the show. But, shouts to Furbrat, Brewer Chef, and I believe Little Weasel was the child's name. And I hope that, you know, if they don't put my email up on PhoneSwarm, you can use this as your proof that I, Ponyboy, am the guy who took that picture. I believe, as they refer to me on the site, as Phone Freak Friend. Yeah. But, I don't know, it's a cool website. Check it out. It's phoneswarm.com. If you're wanting to check out that webcam that's pointed at the payphone, you can go to www.westland.net/peercam. That's peer, P-I-E-R, cam. And, you'll be at the webcam there. And the number, which we're going to call numerous times throughout the show, is 310-394-9052. And I'm going to go ahead and call that up right now. Pier?
Yes.
Hi. My name is Ponyboy. I do an internet radio show called Bellcore Radio. We're based out of Georgia, actually.
Georgia.
Yeah, I'm actually watching you guys on a webcam right now that's across the street from the payphone. Okay. I guess they didn't want to talk. Anyways, Some other, I guess moving on, we will call that number again later on in the show. Some more freak news, and this is kind of funny. I believe TestSet linked me up to this, or linked to this on the BenRev forums. There was apparently a kid in, a kid in, I don't even know where it was, Wisconsin, there we go, in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, an Amish kid, who was apparently, they've got on their, wiretapping, he was using a beige box, and, he got busted. And, you know, it's not big news. People get busted, you know, kids get busted with beige boxes a lot. But, I don't know, I thought it was funny that an Amish kid... First of all, I wasn't aware that the Amish would be able to... I mean, like, it really makes you wonder where he found out about this, you know? Like... I mean, he had to have figured out a way to wire this up and put this beige box together and use it. And there's generally not a lot of places that you can find that except the internet. And I wasn't aware that the Amish used the internet anymore, you know, or anymore. The Amish used the internet ever. I wasn't aware they had computers or electricity, you know. What was the kid's name? I guess, if it says here, I want to give shouts to this kid, to James Bontrager from, Grand River Road or something, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, I thought it was kind of funny just to hear about it. I mean, it's not really freak news, per se, but, it's freak related. I don't know, I try. Let's call the phone number again. I'm going to call up that payphone one more time. Well, I guess they didn't want to pick up. We'll try it again later on in the show, but I guess we're going to move on a little bit. Some digital rights stuff, mostly involving, I guess, centered around piracy. Starting out with Belgium, a country in Eastern Europe, or Western Europe, or Europe somewhere. Apparently the Belgian and I believe Swedish authorities raided and seized servers. I believe the Razorback 2 servers, which are apparently indexing servers for eDonkey, which is, you know, kind of a big peer-to-peer file sharing type of a service. But, I wasn't aware, I mean, there wasn't actually anything, like, no pirated software, nothing, no really, no wares, no pirated, pirated music or videos or anything actually on those servers. It was just indexing stuff. Like, it had a record of where, you know, of where this pirated stuff was. But, I wasn't aware. I'm not claiming to understand Belgian law, but why is that illegal? I mean, what grounds do they have to seize that kind of server, you know? But, I don't know, it seems kind of like bullshit. It doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem like a fair thing that just because these servers are affiliated with eDonkey, and eDonkey is used by a lot of people to trade pirated stuff, that it's legal for them to just take these servers. You know, I mean, just go in and say, look, we're the government, and these are ours now. So, I don't know. It seems like bullshit. And, not, maybe like a week later, moving on to another related topic, the MPAA, who is, you know, my best friend, I can't stop saying good things about the MPAA, probably about a week afterwards, the MPAA starts pushing, lawsuits, or I don't believe they've actually started filing the lawsuits, but they've started informing a lot of, torrent sites, a lot of, I think, eDonkey, a lot of newsgroup type stuff, and, really kind of sucks. They've been, you know, letting them know, hey, we're gonna sue you in the near future. And I don't know, I guess that, to me, just seems, slightly related. I don't know if anyone else makes that connection or not. I don't know, it just seems like stupid crap, and, it seems like more MPAA bullshit to try to push the fact that, that they are the MPAA, and that means that they can do whatever the hell they want. And actually, before we move on, there are a bunch of people, I'm watching webcam here, and there are a bunch of people next to a payphone, so we're gonna call it yet again.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, is this the payphone outside in Santa Monica?
No, it's the Santa Monica Police Department.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, and who am I speaking with?
Huh?
Who am I speaking with?
You go out here, so what do you want?
I know, I mean, am I speaking to an officer?
Yeah.
Can I get your badge number?
Why?
Just because I'd like to verify that you're actually, not at a payphone.
Who are you?
I'm watching the webcam across the street.
Are you really?
Yes.
And what webcam is that?
I believe it is at Dr. Berman's, plastic surgery office.
Yeah? Isn't that 2 days old? How would you know that was on there?
Because it's listed on his website.
Right, but it's 2 days old, like I said. So, what do you... Hey.
I'm just calling the payphone.
Why?
Because I'm curious.
Curious about what?
About people.
Okay. Where are you from, bro?
I'm from Georgia.
You're from Georgia?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's your ICP number?
I don't believe I should have to give you that information.
All right. So, you're watching the webcam from Georgia?
Yes, I am.
So what links are on there?
What links are on the webpage for it?
Yeah.
I believe there was a link for Dr. Berman's office, and there's some Google stuff.
So you're on Google?
No, there's Google links.
but you're on Google. You're on Google. You went to search engines Google to get on your webcam, to get on the webcam.
No.
So.
Anyways, that was weird. Okay, I'm not going to call that anymore, I guess, till later in the show. Moving on, a little bit more, kind of bullshit anti-piracy stuff. The Canadian Copyright Board, which I'm assuming is kind of, in a sense, the Canadian version of the MPAA or the RIAA as far as, you know, making poor anti-piracy decisions. They've had this before, now they're bringing it back, a tariff or a tax on blank media, like blank CDRs and stuff, which is going to be 21 cents per disc. And I mean, like, you know, you think about it now, okay, 21 cents, that's not a big deal. But it's each and every disc. I mean, you get a stack of 100 blank CDs. That's $21 of that is going to this tax. It's not, I mean, it's not going to add $21 to what you're paying, but it's $21 more than you would have to pay. And actually, I guess it probably is going to add $21 to what you're paying, because the company selling them want to make the same amount of money. They don't want to lose money on this deal. The article I was reading mentioned, I believe it was Future Shops. I think that's an online store. They had a deal for 200 blank CDRs for $60, which, when you think about it, that is $42 of that. Because the store is giving you a discount doesn't mean that the tax is going to be discounted. So $42 of that is actually going to the Canadian Copyright Board, I guess, or the Canadian government. Which just seems outrageous, in my opinion. I know they had a while back that they were doing the same kind of thing with MP3 players, you know, like, I don't believe it was this expensive. As far as I know, it wasn't this expensive. If it was, you know, if somebody knows, please correct me. But I don't know, it just seems like, what is the logic behind it, you know? I mean, an actual CD to produce, a blank CDR, maybe at most 10 cents. And to charge a tax on that is over twice as much as it costs to make that, not to mention what you're actually paying to buy it, which is probably about twice as much as what you're paying to buy it. It just seems retarded. And I guess it'll help them in what they're going for there, you know? I mean, they're going for, like, we have to keep people from burning CDs of illegal thing, of pirated things, so we'll just make them, CDRs too expensive to afford. But what about people who use their CDRs for legal things? What about, you know, people who need to burn a Linux ISO so they can install it on a computer? Or people who, you know, people who have something on their computer that they need to transport to, you know, their office, and they don't happen to have a USB thumb drive, and, you know, most computers these days don't have floppy disks, so they got a choice there. They can either maybe email it, or they could burn it to a CD and take it in. Unfortunately, a CD is going to cost them, you know, like 50 cents just to do this, when you could probably buy floppy disks, but you could probably buy 5 or 6 floppy disks for 50 cents and reuse them as many times as you want. Yeah, fuck the Canadian Copyright Board. Seriously, I don't understand the logic behind this decision, and I think it's going to come back to bite them in the ass. I think it's just going to give them a bad rap across the board, you know? Because they're, you know, it's not just pirates that need blank CDRs. It's basically everybody. I don't know. I can't really think of anything else to say about this topic. I mean, I think I summed it up pretty well by saying fuck the Canadian Copyright Board. There's no reason for that tax. Actually, even more fun stupidity coming from Canada. The Canadian Lakehead University, I believe it is in Canada, is more or less banning the use of wireless internet on campus because of health concerns, I guess. You know, they think that it's going to cause, you know, tumors or cancer or something along those lines. And I guess, you know, in a sense, at an extremely high volume, there could possibly be downsides. Excuse me. There could possibly be downsides to having a, you know, extreme exposure to a lot of 802.11 transmission, I guess. But I mean, people live every day. I mean, if you walk anywhere in a big metropolitan area, there's Wi-Fi networks everywhere. You're constantly surrounded by them. And people don't, you know, I mean, people get tumors, but I don't think that, you know, standing next to a wireless router is going to all of a sudden cause, like, a growth to come out of, come out of your leg or whatever. I don't know. It just seems stupid. But yeah, I mean, I can understand limiting it if you're that concerned. You know, if you really don't, like, if you're really like, okay, we can't deal with people, you know, having prolonged exposure to these high rates of wireless frequencies. But, you know, wireless networks not only cut down on a lot of clutter and a lot of maintenance work, as far as, you know, keeping your network, you know, testing stuff, if, you know, who really wants to fuck around with a whole bunch of, you know, Ethernet cables going through a switch and all this crap when you can have a wireless network and you can just, there's no cable to worry about having any problems with. If there's a problem, you know it's either with this router or with this card in my computer. And it's not, you know, with this piece of Ethernet that's connecting this switch to, you know, this area over here, which is then connecting to the computer. You don't have to worry about any of that crap in the middle. And I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And actually, another thing to kind of make the worst segue ever here, another thing that doesn't make sense to me. AOL, every hacker's favorite internet service provider, is bumping up the cost of dial-up service, you know, and, you know, for a good reason, I guess. It is for a good reason. It basically, they want people to ditch this dial-up crap and get a decent broadband connection. And, you know, I think that they could work it a better way, maybe offering new deals, and you know, maybe instead of, because what they're doing is they're bumping up the price of dial-up so it's the same price as broadband, and that's going to be about $26 a month, which, you know, isn't bad. But if you're really going to pay $26 a month for a broadband internet connection, don't go with AOL. I mean, I use Comcast, and I don't, unless I'm mistaken, I pay about that same price, if not, well, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. I don't know exactly. I don't keep that much track of it. But I don't understand, you know, instead of raising the price of your dial-up, lower the price of your broadband just a little bit. Give somebody a deal. If you sign up now, you get, you know, the first 2 months or something at this reduced price, which is actually maybe even lower than their dial-up service. You know, for $20 a month, you can, you know, you can have, you know, this broadband internet connection. And then, you know, after 2 months or something, bump it up to this $26 or whatever. Make some money back. Because, to be perfectly honest, dropping it down to $20 a month, you'd have a lot more people that don't have an internet connection at all, or that have an internet connection through their local, you know, through a local ISP, through their telco, through, you know, like myself, through Comcast. You'll have a lot of people like that that say, hey, that's a good deal, you know. Sure, I mean, it's AOL, but that's a good deal. And they'll jump on that bandwagon. They'll come right over to you. But don't raise your price of something. That's gonna, if anything, that's going to encourage your customers to go away from your service. They see you raising your price of dial-up, which they use because it's cheap, they can afford it. And they see you raising that price and they say, whoa, I'm not a big fan of AOL right now. You know, they're raising these prices on me, you know, for a service that's not really all that good to begin with. And, you know, they're gonna say, I don't want to do that, you know. They're paying for this dial-up because it's cheap. They can afford it. Raising up the price to cost the same amount, same as this broadband might get some people to switch over, but it's not going to get everyone to switch over. It's going to get a lot of people to give you the finger and say, where's my cheap connection that I can afford, you know? Not everyone needs a broadband connection, even though it would make life easier for them. Not everyone can afford it. And that's about all AOL. That's all the AOL talk for this episode. I guess to wrap up the show a little bit, lately, on the past few episodes, we've been trying to pimp other internet media, hacker radio, podcasting, you know, just in general, stuff that we've found that we think is cool, that we think other people need to check out. And I'm not sure, I can't recall where I came across this. I think it might have been Natus posted about it on Daily Freak, which is an awesome site, you know, if you just want to kind of, you know, keep up with it. It's mostly cellular and asterisk stuff that I've seen on there, but you know, if you want to keep up with cool stuff that's going on, he generally has a good supply of information, you know, I guess his supply of information is largely himself. He goes to a lot of sites and gets a lot of cool information that I don't really know a lot about, and I like to learn about. And he posted up on this blog. It's dailyfreak.com, I believe. And I came across this. He talked about it on his blog, I think. And it's a show called Blue Box. And I know what most of you guys are thinking, most of the phone freaks that listen to the show. They're like, oh damn, that's a new freak show that I have never heard of. And I guess in a sense you're right and you're wrong. It's not so much traditional freaking. Blue Box is a voiceover IP security podcast where they basically talk about largely voiceover IP, as you can imagine, and security of said voiceover IP. And it's a really good show. It's very well put together. I know a lot of shows that I listen to, even though I like it, I like the shows. They don't have a professional format, I guess. A lot of the shows I listen to, I mean, they're good. They have good information, good tech, good ranting, but they just don't have that professional edge, I guess, that really helps you to, you know, I mean, I guess to sum it up, I'd be more comfortable playing this show in front of my parents than I would playing, maybe default radio in front of my parents, just because, you know, they carry themselves professionally. They don't, you know, no offense to the people from Default Radio, by the way. I don't mean any offense to you guys, but they don't, you know, cuss a lot, which is not, I mean, it's, that kind of goes throughout all of internet, you know, hacker media specifically. I mean, this show is no exception. I tend to use quite a lot of swear words in the show. But these guys are good. It's a show hosted by Dan York and Jonathan Czar. And I'm not sure if they have if they have a time format. I don't know if they come out with one every week or, you know, just whenever the hell they feel like it. But of course, it is a podcast, so you can really just grab it whenever. You know, just, you know, subscribe to their RSS feed, and, you know, whenever there's a new one, you'll know about it. But, yeah, it's a cool show, so check it out. You can check it out at www.blueboxpodcast.com. Yeah, it's a cool show, so check that one out. I guess, do I have any phone number? I got one phone number I guess we'll call. I guess I might call, what the hell, at the end I'll call up that payphone again. But, the first number I want to call was, posted on BenRev forums by, a guy named Diverter, and, the number is the Literotica hotline, which is apparently some kind of do-it-yourself sex phone line where, you know, you record, you know, sexy messages or whatever, and I guess it posted up there and people can call through and listen to them. And I mean, I don't understand the point of it, but it's a fun thing nonetheless. And the number is 877-709-0085.
Welcome to the Literotica Audio Hotline. By leaving a message after the beep, you agree that you are over 18 years old and that it is legal in your area to leave a message of an adult nature. You also agree that we may post your message on Literotica and that we may archive it onto an audio erotica site which we are currently developing. Please leave your username and email address at the beginning of the message if you would like to be credited for your work. The system will allow you to record for a maximum of 2 minutes per call. If you need more time, please feel free to call back multiple times. Thank you, and get ready to record.
Start recording at the tone, or press 1 for more options. When finished, you may hang up or press the pound key.
Hey boys, this is Ponyboy from Bellcore Radio, and I want to get freaky in your manhole. You can reach me back at bellcoreradio@gmail.com.
To send the message, press 1. To play back the message, your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Okay, well that was kind of fun. I'm not sure what the point of that is now. I really don't get it. I was under the impression that maybe you could actually call and listen to other messages or something, but I don't know. I guess it's just going to record what you say. I guess we'll try this payphone number one more time, just to see if we can get anybody. Let me get back to the webcam here before I do anything. See if there's any folks at the, see if there's anybody at the payphone.
Alright,
I guess they're not there then. Nobody's gonna pick up. That's gonna wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully next week we will have maybe we'll have Mesa back. If not, hopefully we'll have some kind of guest host. If anybody's listening, any of our new listeners from the stream, any of our old listeners, if you want to be a guest on the show, just drop me a line and send me an email, bellcoreradio@gmail.com, or that's probably your best bet for getting in touch with us. It's also possible, if you want, let me find our voicemail box here. You can reach us at 206-202-4227, or if it's easier for you to remember, 206-202-4BCR. Just leave us a message or send us an email. You might be able to reach us on AIM. We've got a screen name, Bellcore Radio. That's sometimes signed on. Just try and get in touch with us if you want to be a host, if you have something for us to talk about. And hopefully we'll have a cool show for you guys next time. But that's going to wrap it up for us. I'm going to go ahead and give shouts again to my geocaching friends, Furbrat, Brewer Chef, and Little Weasel. That's going to about wrap it up for the show. So, until next time, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Ponyboy, your phone freak friend, And this is the end of file.